Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't talk, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. If you're in the Mountain Time Zone, it's 11 a.m. If you are in the Pacific Time Zone, it's 10 a.m. Sometimes I get these things all confused. 1 p.m. in New York City and the Eastern Time Zone, wherever you are, we're coming to you live on BBS Radio Station 1. Karen Cataline, your host. What an honor it is to sit behind a microphone and talk and have somebody else listen. I think I've been in love with talk radio since I was 14. In fact, I know I have. I took so many different detours along the way in showbiz and social work and what have you. And honestly, this has been probably my longest abiding love. And I didn't think I'd ever really get a chance to do it seriously. And I'm taking it seriously, but hopefully I don't take myself too seriously. Anyway, a lot has been going on, not just in the local market of talk radio, but also this story that we are going to discuss a little bit later in the show, has gone national, and it has national implications, and I'm going to weigh in on it a little bit. But in order to help me, I decided to invite as my guest one of the great veterans of talk radio, and we'll hear more about his story. His name is Joe Messina. He is heard in many, many markets around the country, has about 42 stations or more. He's been doing this certainly longer than I have, and I wanted to talk to him. He may or may not be aware of the talk radio wars that are going on based in Colorado, but not only in Colorado. So those are some of the things we're talking about. In this first segment before our break, we can also talk, and I'm going to right now. Let's see. Yep. In the background in my studio, I see that the impeachment hearings, Act 3, or Day 3, or whatever you want to call it, are now going on. And very frankly, I have not had a chance to pay too much attention. And part of the reason for that, it's funny, I wrote a blog post about this very thing, about how instructive and for medicinal purposes we ought to be watching what's going on. And sure enough, I haven't had the time because of a little bit of the drama that's been going on here. But yesterday morning, I posted a blog that kind of ties together the stuff in talk radio and what is not so affectionately being called the shift show. And the shift show Act 3 is going on as we speak. But this piece, which you can find at my website, shameless plug, KarenCataline.com, spelled with two K's, not three, Karen Cataline, Cataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. It's called The Shift Show and the Faustian Lure of Leftism. And what constantly amazes me is the way that people get lured away from their moorings because of the bribery and or blackmail of leftism. And let me tell you what I mean. That doesn't mean that every single liberal leftist has something to be bribed or blackmailed with. But if you are no longer connected to a commitment to truth and integrity and just calling it like you see it. And we all have blind spots. We all have our own individual blind spots. Then sometimes you can be lured with bennies that you may not have really earned. And very frankly, I think that that is one of the great lures of leftism. I think leftism is a Faustian bargain. In order to get people to sign away and give away their freedom, they're offered a lot of bennies that they didn't necessarily earn. There's a sense that you can lure people into leftism, socialism, whatever, if you just tell them that they are victims, that they deserve better, that somebody has done them wrong. This is pure demagoguery. And simply by virtue of their birth, that could be true in other countries, but not so much in the United States of America, they are victims. And therefore, they, whatever they do, whatever they say, they no longer have to be held accountable because, hey, they're victims. So that's one thing that I find so infuriating. I mean, it's one thing for a true believer to simply say, you know, I'm a socialist. I think I know better than everyone else, and I'm going to dole out the bread. Two for me, one for you. Two for me, one for you. That's the way it goes. It's like when human beings dole out the bread, they are always making sure they get enough bread of their own. One of the many reasons why the free market and capitalism has a fairer outcome. We won't go down that road right now, but I've been thinking so much about this Faustian bargain. Let's face it, when the left has been more open, more transparent, to use a word, than I've ever seen them before, what are they offering the masses in order to vote Democrat? Well, they're offering, if you're black, kind of a new plantation where the government gets to be your new boss. The government gets to be your new slave owner, because if you give away your freedom, guess what? You're a slave. And that doesn't matter what color you are. You could be any color. But if you sell out your freedom for either free stuff or to feel like a victim, or if you choose to hold yourself harmless, even though your behavior has been abominable, you don't want to be held accountable because for whatever the reason you have a blind spot about your own fallibility and weaknesses, then you can be bought. You can be had. And you might be asking, like, where is she going with this? My point is that in a time when we are facing the lure of socialism in this country, I believe that every single one of us is constantly being, there's an attempt to seduce every single one of us with free stuff all the time. That seems to be the way that socialism perpetuates itself. And I'll make no mistake about it. I never wanted to be a reporter. I never wanted to be anything but a commentator in this business, in this field. And I believe socialism is evil. Why? Because it exploits dependency. It exploits codependency, for that matter. And it keeps people down simply by keeping them childlike. It keeps people down simply by encouraging dependence. Now, you've probably heard me say this before, but when I was training as a social worker, and this was quite a few years ago now, it was pretty much a given that if you wanted to do right by your clients, you would encourage them to be as independent as they could be. I worked in the field of senior citizens a lot, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And, at the time, the byword, I don't know what it is now, I haven't practiced in the field for a long time, was that the social worker's integrity was to help clients be as independent as they could be in order to respect their free will, their right to self-determination. And we tried to get them benefits if they were eligible from the government, but we didn't encourage them to be dependent on someone else. I mean, I believe human beings want to master freedom and self-determination. sufficiency to the best of their ability. That doesn't mean that they don't know that they are interdependent with others. They need other people. But that's one of the great joys of adulthood, is to be independent, free-spirited, and free. And that's why I love this country so much, because it encourages that very thing. Socialism does not. Socialism exploits dependency. Socialism encourages people to be childlike and victim-like for their own exploitation. And somehow people always fall for it. And we're all vulnerable to it. I don't think that I'm somehow better than anybody else. I've always been, you know, wanted to be fiercely independent. But if you want to be taken care of, then socialists and leftists are going to make a better case for you to buy into it. Now, that doesn't mean that we've ever had laissez-faire capitalism. We have nothing even remotely of the sort. So it's a false argument to say you get your choice between pure capitalism and pure socialism. That's just not true. But to be more specific, I really think that the left is being disingenuous with what it offers, what it promises, and what they really believe. They're trying to detach us from our basic American principles and moorings, if that is the right word. This Schiff show is a departure from everything we know from the traditions of due process. I'm proud to say I'm not an attorney. I wanted to be an attorney for about 5 minutes. I'm so glad I never went to law school. But all of us, you don't have to be an attorney to appreciate fairness, due process, to hear from both sides, to not judge, jump to conclusions before you've heard the evidence in a case. Allow both sides to tell their story. I mean, this is American tradition of justice and jurisprudence. And yet look at the attorneys and others who are willing to throw that right out of the window, right out the window, for politics, for personal gain, for political power, you name it. That's one of the, I'm glad I got to that point. Forgive me, it took me a little way around the barn to get to it, but that's what I think is part of the Faustian bargain, the being offered bennies in order to sell your soul, in order to sell your soul, what you know is right, what you know is true, and then to run an act, to run a scam. Now, I'm leading up to this for a reason, because that's some of what we've been dealing with here in the local radio market. And I'm going to take a break in a minute so that we can bring on our guest, Joe Messina, who has many more years in the talk radio business than I. But let me be specific about what I'm talking about. I think all of us, every single one of us, are being constantly lured to accept, for example, free healthcare. It ain't free. Free college, it ain't free. Something for nothing, that ain't free either. And to sell your soul, as Joe Boyd did in Damn Yankees, you've heard me talk about it, is just another Faustian story of, gee, you know, all you got to do to get a one long ball hitter, all you got to do in order to get a CNN gig that you didn't really earn is detach yourself from your principles. Detach yourself from and give up everything you ever believed in and thought was true, simply so you can have, you know, your big hurrah. And all of us are vulnerable to that. So I'm not sitting here saying that I, you know, that I'm better than anybody else. But when I watch that in other people, it really breaks my heart, I guess. We're going to be more specific about how that affects the talk radio market in Denver, which is just another example of that, after this break. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe Messina. I'll tell you a little bit about his background and how this figures in not only to talk radio and what that's all about, but my theory of the Faustian bargain and how it is that one of the great joys of life is to stick to your principles. Yes, you can be flexible, but you got to stick to your principles. You got to stand for something in life, even if you stand alone. This is Karen Cataline, proud to be with you here live on Spouting Off. You may get to hear this broadcast later, but we are broadcasting it on November 19th, 2019. Sometimes I like to give the date. And my producer probably wants me to shut up now so we can cut to a break. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio, Station 1.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no obligation, no cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Ah, thank you, Mr. Producer. Well done, well done, well done. I am delighted to have with us and welcome to Spouting Off Joe Messina, who is a speaker, an author, a radio talk show host, been in the business a lot longer than me. We'll find out more about his background. He began his career, interestingly enough, being asked to fill in for a show whose host canceled on short notice. So Joe grabbed a Democrat, grabbed a Republican, and, you know, being the agitator he was, he stirred things up. That's great talk radio. After that, he was asked to do his own show, and it kept growing. And now he's in... Well, welcome, Joe Messina. Thanks for doing this show, Spouting Off. How many stations are you in right now?
By the way, I'm in a little over 61 nationwide, but I love the name of your show. I mean, Spouting Off.
Oh, thank you.
No, I think it's great. I mean, you know what you're going to get when you tune in, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We're not afraid of disagreement here, you know what I mean?
No.
That's for darn sure. So, so you are really a mentor to a lot of other talk show hosts. How long was it that you got your break in, I guess we would say, terrestrial and in internet talk radio?
Yeah, it's funny you should say, I mean, terrestrial, people don't even know what that means anymore. But
I didn't know it either.
Yeah, to your point, you know, when I came out, the owners of the station said, you know, we may have something here. Let's talk. And 3 weeks later, second week of July, we went live for 1 hour, you know, one day a week. And as time went on, it grew to, 3 hours a day, which is a lot more work than I ever thought it would be.
It's a lot of work. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. And it just really, the reason I called it the real side was it was a conversation that we were all having at coffee shops and at home and with our buddies. But for some reason, when you got on the air, everybody was afraid to talk about it but why? I never understood why. So I just went from there.
As a talk show host who's a real veteran in the Colorado market says, everybody thinks they can do talk radio, and they can't. Not everybody can. It's not quite as easy as people think. But I have enormous respect for the medium, and probably always have. I probably fell in love with talk radio. Really, the real fall in love fell hard when we've got quite a tradition here in Colorado with Alan Berg, the great Alan Berg, who I used to listen to when I was 14 years old in Colorado. Then I moved to New York City, and my mother, may she rest in peace, knew how much I loved Alan Berg. He was no conservative by any stretch. You remember him, right?
Yeah.
So, and I met him several times. He was from he wasn't from Colorado. He was a Chicago attorney who came to Colorado. But and then he was murdered for being a Jew. He was murdered. And this was at the time when there were cassette tapes, you know. We didn't have internet. I couldn't hear it. So she taped the tributes to Alan Berg and sent it to me because she knew how interested I was in it. Well, fast forward, talk radio is thriving in Colorado. And something happened this past, last Saturday. And this concerns, and it went national, it's such an interesting story. And so for some listeners outside of Colorado, This is a story that got carried by the New York Times, the Drudge Report. The person in question, who I'll mention by name, I don't have any problem with it, went on CNN the very next day. So here's what happened. Craig Silverman has been doing his show on 710 CAN-US, a station that I know and love, have guested on several of those programs, filled in on those programs, and I actually went to high school with Craig Silverman. I don't think I ever guest hosted for Craig, but have done so at 710. 710 is a Salem-owned station. They're small, but they are very principled. That's, of course, my editorial comment. Craig Silverman is a veteran of talk radio and had been doing his show on Saturday morning for 6 years. Fast forward to the fact that his old radio partner left. There's a lot of history there, but they used to do a show called Kaplis and Silverman, and everybody knew it. They did a wonderful job. They were partners for 8 years, and Kaplis moved, he wanted Silverman back. There's more to the story, but I'll just jump to the chase. He wanted Silverman back, and so when Kaplis moved from Salem, he had been on KHOW, which is an iHeart station. As people know, those are the two of the big titans, iHeart and Salem,
right?
Because they have stations all over the country. Kaplis did it the right way, and he went to the bosses and he said, I'm moving. The bosses said, okay, we wish you luck. Thank you very much. Goodbye. When Silverman did it, he used it as a jumping off place. We now find out he was running a scam, pure and simple, to parlay this into his big move over to iHeart by trashing his former station and claiming, falsely I might add, that he was fired mid-show for talking against Trump. This is a false narrative, but yet the national leftist media is very committed to pushing that narrative with Joe Walsh and others. So first thing first, let me get your take on what you hear so far, and then we'll jump in and spout off about it.
Well, you know, listen, you're right. Some of these guys, now I don't know Silverman. I'm sure, like you said, you know who he is. But, you know, a lot of these guys that are trying to further their career or make a big move, you know what they do. They start pulling stunts on their own show to bring more attention to them before they make the jump. Some even put themselves in a position. Joe Walsh knew what he was doing, you know, just before he got fired. And he knew
Joe. What exactly happened there? Because I've been so preoccupied with his story in Colorado. I don't know what happened. Silverman had Joe Walsh on. Maybe that's where he got the idea. I don't know.
Maybe. But Joe Walsh had been Michael Medved was on, you know, the Salem Network, and he was consistently trashing Trump 24/7 on his show. Salem said, you know, you really can't do this. You know, this is not what we're looking for. There are other issues out there other than trashing on Trump. They gave a bit of a warning, and finally they said, hey, listen, have a nice day. So he moved on, and I don't know what Medved's doing right now. I think he's got a podcast going on. He's on a couple of other stations. And then you have the same thing now with Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh saw that happen. Joe is always, I think he started off as a never-Trumper, never really bought into it, and he started going hot and heavy against Trump. And pretty much his show, you know, 3 hours a day was the Joe Walsh bash Trump show. So, again, Salem.
Yeah, but is it content-oriented? I just want to throw in here that I know for a fact, having worked with the people at 710 KNUS, that every single one of those hosts have never, I mean never, been told what to say. Now, Craig Silverman wasn't very unhappy with Trump. First he was, then he wasn't, then he was. But he there were a lot of things he liked about Trump. Then all of a sudden, when he decided to go to the dark side, being the attorney that he is, and this is my take on it, he's been trained to be able to argue both sides. And he saw a lot more political opportunities for himself and self-aggrandizement to be an anti-Trumper. And so over the span of 2 months, he turned into a Trump basher. And the KNUS did not stop his show for that. And yet that's the narrative he's trying to push.
Well, okay. Well, it's the same thing. Look at Joe Walsh. Again, you know how we are in this business. We don't like to beat up on anybody. But the reality is he wasn't getting a whole bunch of traction. His numbers had been dropping. You know,
that's what it's about.
Yeah, and when you start bashing on Trump, you start pulling those people over, right? and I don't want to bash. Look, with all due respect, you know, I'm on 6 or 7 Salem stations myself, and they've been good to me. But here's the bottom line: I know when you go for the big contracts with some of these groups, there are some guidelines they hold you to. We'll put it that way, all right? There are some guidelines that they hold you to, and they don't want it turned into a 24/7, you know, bash event against somebody like Trump. And I know that Walsh was looking to go further. Now, I don't know if Silverman, other than moving to another station, does he want to become governor someday? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's looking to do.
I think he wants, the very next day that this happened, he ended up on CNN the very next morning. And
so did
everything
Walsh.
He said, huh? What?
So did Joe Walsh.
Yeah. And see, here's the point. No, there's a lot of points here. And I want to slow down a little bit because I'm pretty passionate about all this. And I know you are, too. But I think the way Silverman was answering those questions by the CNN host, whose name I can't even remember because I don't watch CNN. He's trying to be the next CNN commentator. He wants national coverage, and he's doing it on the backs of good people at 710 KNUS in order to do it. I'll give you plenty of time to comment. I got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
You know how this goes, right? Joe, I just am so delighted to talk to you, and I can't wait to hear more of what you think. We're going to take a break right now, and so stay with us. We'll hear more from our guest, Joe Messina. This is Karen Cataline on Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And we're back, Karen Cataline, delighted to have with us syndicated talk show host in many, many markets around the country, Joe Messina, who has been doing talk radio probably longer than I have, and he understands the inside of this business. And it's, you know, you got to have a lot of respect for it because fortunes change very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if, and I could be wrong about this, that fortunes are changing for Craig Silverman because he went out in a nasty fashion with lies. And now the news station isn't so sure that they want to take him on right now because they're going to be smeared with those same lies. And everybody's interested in their own self-preservation. So I don't think it's going to be an easy road for Silverman. He's already kind of backing off what he was talking about. And I was, you know, I was just plain appalled. It's one thing if you have a disagreement, but when you do something as unethical as this, I don't know. So I was going to give you a chance to really, really spout off about what you were going to say after the break. Go for it.
Well, Look, you and I both know. First of all, we're all fighting for the same time slot. Last I checked, there's only 24 hours in a day, no matter how many stations there are, right? Yeah. There's only 24-hour slots in a day. And a lot of the quote-unquote, I won't mention their names, a lot of the biggies already have these slots lined up. So we're all fighting for a little piece of the pie. And we've all got something, you know, a lot of us have something decent to say and get our points across. So I see these guys like Silverman, like Walsh and others who do these things to your point. Now, he claims that he was pulled off in the middle of a show, correct?
He was pulled off in the middle of the show. I was listening at the time, the very end of it. And just to add to the facts, because I know these to be the facts, he was warned that he cannot, may not talk about his plans to go to another station. It had absolutely nothing to do with politics or what he said, because he spoke against Trump many years before that. Nobody pulled him off the air.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing, Walsh was told that if he kept talking about Trump and he kept bashing Trump and he kept talking about running for president, because, you know, Walsh was talking on his show about running against him because he couldn't stand him, that he would be pulled, and he was pulled, and he complained about it. And he did the same thing you said. He went to CNN and all those other MSNBC the next day to start railing on Salem and railing on why he was yanked off the air. So, you know, again, back to Silverman, if you would. These guys know exactly what they're doing. You know, they're pumping up the ratings. Oh, woe is me. Look what they did to me. I had to go to another station because, you know, they cut me off midstream. And my message will not be, right? I mean, can you see that now on the soapbox? My message will not be squelched. I'll find a place to get that message out.
Yeah, but it's so disingenuous because all of these guys know that there is more bennies for being anti-Trump in the media. You can go to CNN, you can go to MSNBC. There's a million outlets because the media is solely an arm of the Democrat Party. It takes a certain amount of principle and integrity to be a conservative in the first place in media and constantly bucking. I'll tell you this. On my Facebook page, I have a picture that I personally took of a field of sunflowers. And I swear to God, Joe, there was a picture I just loved it. It was like a gift from God. There was an actual picture of one sunflower facing in the opposite direction of all the other sunflowers. And I took it. It's on my Facebook page, and it says, sometimes the crowd is wrong. And you have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
As a Jewish actress, social worker, conservative, I have been bucking the crowd most of my life. And it makes me happy because it's who I truly am. If I disagree, I'll disagree. But when there's so much lure and what I call the Faustian bargain, you're going to get your big, you know, national commentator Bennies for going on CNN and all the rest
right.
of them. And then you see, I mean, the dirty little secret is Trump, I mean, Craig Silverman was not that anti-Trump. He manufactured and engineered this over the span of a couple of months to make it seem more believable. And it's no more believable now than it ever was to me. Because I know he's Jewish, he cares about Israel, he knows that the anti-Semitism is coming from the left. I mean, he sold out his principles, in my humble opinion. Let him disagree with me. He sold out his principles for self-aggrandizement. And that, to me, is a shame. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right, Karen. Look, I don't know him that well, but I do know that this is what happens with these guys when they start losing numbers, or they see an opportunity, maybe an open slot, if you would, in this case. I don't know what he knew ahead of time. And, you know, you're looking for a way to beef up your numbers, you know, beef up the buzz is what I like to call it, because some people
create beef up the buzz.
A fake buzz, right?
Yeah.
Well, look at, we all, in the early days when we could get away with it, you know, we were out on Twitter, Facebook, you know, we had 140,000 some odd followers on Facebook. I've had 4 Facebook pages pulled down. Okay.
Really?
You know, and I'm not that much of a nut. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not that, but I deal with all the stuff. You and I have a mutual friend, Sandy Frazier. And before
yes.
I wrote my book and she was poking me to write the book, she said, "You're the only old white guy that's talking about all the stuff you're not supposed to talk about." You know, I talked about abortion and same-sex marriage and you know what? And the hate and the anti-Semitism before other people were talking about it, going off on it on the show. And so, you know,
it takes guts. You know, we're all, forgive me, I mean, we're all being seduced on a regular basis to say stuff we don't think, we don't believe. You know, if only you, this is what my monologue was about before you came on the air. If only you will vote Democrat, you can be, you don't have to work anymore. You'll get something for nothing. You'll get free health care and free college, and we'll forgive all your debt. This is the Faustian bargain. Isn't it?
I tell people, if you want to see what this country would look like if the Democrats ran it, just look at California.
Colorado, which is trying to be baby California.
California East. Now, you guys, forgive me, please, your Colorado listeners, forgive me, but I've been making fun of you ever since you, you know, free dope for everybody, right? I mean,
there you go.
Smoke it anywhere.
Well, now, and this is a good segue because we can't talk about Silverman forever. The interesting thing is he's going to go by the wayside, too, because they're going to hand him his hat. And he's going to feel what it feels like. He's got a very big ego, and this is the first time he's made one of the biggest missteps of his career ever. We all do it, I guess. I haven't had a long enough career to do it. But segueing into California versus Colorado, how about those safe injection sites, which California has that all our liberals in Colorado want to have too? How about that?
What part of, for some odd reason, Democrats not only can say the word illegal, they can't spell it, and they don't know what it means, okay? So you have safe injection sites. However, mm-hmm. you're allowing them to inject drugs that are against federal law. So you're helping them to break law. And I think last time I checked, I'm not an attorney, but isn't that aiding and abetting, right?
Well,
I mean,
of course it is. And it destroys neighborhoods. This is a huge issue. Yeah, Joe, this again is another feather in the cap of 710 KNUS because they were fighting it with all they were worth. Silverman wasn't really much involved in that, but some of the bigwigs over there at 710 KNUS fought it valiantly and pushed it back for a year just because they made such a campaign over it. They actually went to Vancouver and reported, which none of the people who are for it because they're being bought off by George Soros wanted to talk about. But yet they went up there. It's a small station. They went up there and they reported that the entire neighborhood, eight blocks around, has been shut down and turned over to the drug dealers and the criminals and the homeless and the addicts. It is a nightmare. I mean, somebody somewhere, we know this, people are funding the destruction of America one state at a time.
Do you think that maybe they're in so deep, these legislators and or, you know, like the city of Los Angeles, they don't know what to do? They're blaming this all on Trump, obviously. They're blaming it on the economy. Check this one out. Gavin Newsom actually came out and said the reason there's so many homeless in San Francisco is because the economy's too good. So they have people that are actually making money. The apartment owners are raising. Oh, no, this is great. This happened last year.
The economy is too good.
Right. So people are raising rents because other people are making more money and they can move in. And the people who can't afford to live there now have to move out. And they live in their cars and they live in this. I mean, this guy, matter of fact, I think he's injecting at some of these places where it's free to inject. Because there's no way to make sense out of what he was saying.
You're saying he sounds high. Is that what you're saying?
Constantly. And again. Think about that, people. The economy is too good, and that's why we have homeless people.
You know,
are we serious?
So scary and awful is that the irrationality and the intellectual dishonesty is so enormous, you can't keep track of it all. It's like giving free rein to the loons to be as irresponsible as they can be. That's what disturbs me. We got to take one more break. We got a few things to do here. Can you stay with us for one more segment?
Sure. I'm having fun.
That's great. It's so much fun to talk to you, Joe. I'm so glad that Sandy said, call Joe Messina. I said, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to do that. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Station 1. I'm Karen Cataline. Stay with us. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. And we're back. What a pleasure to be talking to Joe Messina. He's a speaker, he's an author, and he is a veteran talk show host. Joe, before we continue, where can people hear you? Where can people see you and listen to you?
So we are Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. on the West. And if you go to the website, therealside.com, it gives you a station list. You can watch live there. You can listen live there. And we also have our own app for Apple and for Android, so you can take us with you no matter where you go. Although, if you're taking me with you everywhere, you must have a pretty boring life, but we can talk about that later.
Well, maybe people need the company. You never know.
When
my husband's gone, I invite the dog on the bed. I mean, you know. I mean, not to do anything. Forget it.
Okay.
Just, you know, he likes the affection, and I like to snuggle. So that's the way it goes. Anyway, at the break, you were telling me about how you broke the story of Katie Hill, because you are based in California.
Never
a dull moment in politics in California. Tell us about this story and how you broke it.
Well, what was interesting was that Katie was running, you know, way back in 2018, that whole summer coming up to that. We were getting all kinds of information on her, and I think I told you during a break that, you know, the pictures that are of a sexual nature or what have you, my attitude was nobody cares about that anymore. Let's just be honest about it. Nobody really hangs in on that stuff. But when it started talking, when I started seeing the evidence of her sleeping with, having relations with her employees on the campaign, and then afterward, once she got in, she's actually having relations with an employee in D.C. and one here in California, and that's illegal. It's actually to the point where it's a bill that she actually voted on. She voted yay on it, so she knew it was what she was doing was illegal. There was no way to wiggle out of it. So we did. We started. My first story about it was how it was illegal, what rules she broke, and what have you. Well, 2 days later, a couple of the other publications broke the sexual portion of it with the pictures. So it went viral at that particular point in time. And ever since then, and I kept saying, don't put the pictures out of her because she's going to make it a personal attack. She's going to become the victim, and the fact that she broke the law is not going to matter. And so what's happened now? The fact that she broke the law doesn't matter. It was a right-wing conspiracy. She was smeared by the right. This is what the left always does, right?
Yes.
They do something wrong, and it's somebody else's. They should need to rename themselves to the Party of Non-Responsibility, because they don't take responsibility.
They
are. They don't do anything wrong, right?
And that's how they go to the dark side, is that if they want to be absolved of responsibility, you got to be a leftist and say you're some sort of a victim. Just like what we were talking about with this other case Craig Silverman. Now we got another one, a talk show host, Krista Kafer, who it's laughable. She is a victim, too, because she was against Trump. That's not what it's about. Never was. Since when you get fired, you get to blame somebody else? You never have to look, you know, and this is it. You got Craig Silverman. You got Krista Kafer. Millions of people have been fired in their lives. And it used to be that you built character by learning. Now, in the case of Silverman, just for the record, I happen to know he wasn't fired at this point anyway. They're in a contract dispute. But whatever it may be, since when do you not get to take responsibility for the choices you make in life?
Well, listen, you and I both know in doing radio, you decide, you know. Look, I know with some of my station owners, because they've called me in the past, what they don't like me talking about or what have you. And you make that decision as to whether you're going to continue on that road, whether you're going to discuss these kind of issues, and you take that chance and you own it. These guys don't want to own it.
And the truth is, a station like KNUS has every right, if they wanted to tell people what they can and can't talk about. But every single host at that station has concurred that they never did that to anyone, and they never did that to Craig Silverman either.
Right.
And frankly, he knows it. He knows it. So just for the record, I had to say that because, after all, I'm angry about it. I'm angry about this. It makes us all look bad. I never thought Craig Silverman was capable of this, and yet he is. But going back to California, because, of course, it's your fault that Colorado is in the mess it is, I think we're not going to take any responsibility here. We're just going to say that the reason Colorado is in such a mess is because California did it to us. How about that?
We sent our dope heads there when you approved dope. You know, I joke on my – look, I'm from the 70s. We called it dope for a reason. You know what I'm saying? We'll just leave it at that. But. You know,
exactly.
But, you know, I had read that and I have done some stories around it where you're not getting the tax money you thought you were going to get. Your homeless numbers have gone up. Calls to the CDC emergency rooms or the emergency hotline have gone up tremendously over the years. And I think if somebody actually sat down and said, okay, here's what we've brought in taxes, but here's what it's cost us in public services, they'd want to wipe that out. I guarantee it, because you don't get the return that you think you're going to get.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was joking with somebody here in California, and I said, hey, guess what? The black market for dope hasn't gone away. You know why? Because it's still cheaper on the street, and if you get caught, what are they going to do to you?
Yeah, I want to tell you real quickly in as succinct a fashion as I can where I am on marijuana, because I've watched it firsthand. I have pretty strong libertarian views. I don't think it's up to the government to tell people if they can poison their body or not. So on principle, I was for the legalization of marijuana. But here's what happened. The government became the biggest drug pusher. My biggest principle, one of them, is limited government, smaller government. So what are we doing? We are funding the government with drug money. The streets are more dangerous than ever. The black market is bigger than ever. The government, as I said, is the biggest drug pusher there is. So it hasn't. And ultimately, I came up with the same conclusion that if it truly were the government was out of it, which they'll never get out of anything, they'll only get bigger and more intrusive, then
that's
maybe
right.
It would be okay. But that requires personal responsibility, and a big government wants less personal responsibility and more power. End of story. Your thoughts?
My only pushback on that is, and I agree with you, people should be allowed to do what they want to do with their own body. However, they know this is bad for, I know this is going to sound cold, but they know this is bad for them. And then when they run to the emergency room and they have no money, who foots the bill?
We do.
I don't want to pay for you to fix yourself, because you don't. Most of these people do not fix themselves. They go for help and they go right back to doing what they were doing before. So I understand what he's saying. People should be allowed to do what they want to do to themselves. But then why do we become responsibility? Why are we responsible for their bad decisions?
That's a leftist thing, too, because when the left, this very radical left, which really is controlling the Democrat Party right now in the times we live in, they are pushing two very dangerous ideas simultaneously. We are our brother's keeper, and therefore we can tell you how to live because we're going to pick up the pieces of your life and make everything okay. In other words, we're going to take away all the consequences of your bad choices. And guess who we're going to stick the bill with? The people that used to be law-abiding citizens.
Yep.
We're going to demonize law-abiding citizens, and we're going to turn criminals into victims. This is turning every kind of justice on its head for the purpose of exploiting people and the empowerment of government. Where am I wrong?
It makes for lousy radio, but you're not.
There's
no conversation. Well, I mean, you're right. And again, to your point, if government would just stay out of it, and I voted against it, so why am I penalized when it goes sideways? It's just amazing to me. It's the same thing here in California. They have the new infrastructure tax they hit us with a couple of years ago. This is the fourth time they've done this to us, and they steal the money. So we kept screaming, they're going to steal it again. Nothing stops these people. It's an insatiable appetite for your money. And what did Gavin Newsom do? He took $5 billion out of the infrastructure fund, which means we have highways that won't be fixed. And he's spending that money for free abortions on college campuses and for legal fees for illegal immigrants. I don't get it. It makes absolutely sense. You can't smoke enough dope for this to make sense.
No, you really, really can't. You know, in our last couple of minutes, I can't help but try to tie this into a bow, if possible,
uh-oh,
which is not easy to do.
Good luck.
And say that there are powers that be with huge amounts of money that are pushing some of these false narratives. I wrote a piece a long time ago, not that long ago, I guess, for the Western Journal called Pushing Socialism, I'm paraphrasing, Imposing Socialism on America One State at a Time. And little by little, they're taking away local control by buying state legislatures in such a fashion that, again, full circle. I wonder if this new narrative that conservative talk radio is shutting down differences of opinion and telling people they can't be against Trump. Nothing could be further from the truth. But I feel like there are strategists trying to push that narrative for the 2020 election, that's why this narrative is finding its way, because it's a pure projection of what leftists do, right? Yep. Leftists yep. cannot tolerate dissent of any kind, and that's why they're lousy at talk radio, because they can't debate the issues.
That's right. No, you're right. You know, I've been telling people for a long time, we allowed Facebook to get this powerful. We allowed Twitter to get this powerful. And I'm sorry, I'm one of those guys that say you cannot take it back. You can start as many other platforms as you want to, but then you spread the power and you don't get the same effect that Facebook and Twitter get. So people like you and I that are on terrestrial radio, where we're not bound by whether you're connected to the internet or not in most cases.
Maybe this is extraterrestrial radio.
Yeah. But it's the only way to get the message out.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of people that will listen on the app, and you know, we've got some great people out there that'll send me information on what's going on. But we are going to be stifled in 2020. You already see it happening.
I think this is part of the new narrative for the 2020 election. Is there's
no
terrible
question.
Conservative talk radio? You know, they're telling us all what to think. Nonsense.
Oh, no, we're asking you to think. That's the difference. The left tells you
right.
what to think. Most conservative talk shows say, hey, what about this and what about this? And if you consider this, and once you put the facts together, you decide. We don't tell you what to think.
Exactly.
I've got close to 50,000 on my email list, and I'm getting Maybe. More and more screenshots coming back to me where when they're getting these emails, it's saying this email comes from a site that is known to put out fake news and or spam. Okay?
That is outrageous.
So Google. That
anti-American.
Yeah,
that's
so
that's what they do. That's what they do. Yeah. They are the purveyors of truth, the people that want to control your
truth.
Lives. I hate to do this to you. It's just so much fun to talk to you, but we got to go. So tell everybody, this went so quickly. You are so much fun to talk to.
Thank you. I appreciate
tell everybody
that.
How they can find you, and we'll make sure and make this podcast available to you so you can do whatever you want with it.
We'll put it up too. So it's really simple.
Okay.
You go to the real side, go to the realside.com. It gives you stations, times, ways to get a hold of us. All of that is up there, and you can grab old shows. You can listen to new shows. Whatever gets you excited.
Good. Well, and you're still hanging in there in California, so
I know. Yeah,
that's something else. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. Well, we'll try to have you back on again soon. Godspeed. Have a great show. The next show you do, which I think is tonight, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
You're going to do a show tonight. Well, thanks so much for your insights and your observations. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. That's all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, who happens to be my husband. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.